Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 7th of March. We get to talk about books this hour of the program, and I was admitting I'll have to do it publicly to Daniel that I have not had much of a chance to read because we've done so many programs on what's going on in Wisconsin that it's been newspapers, blogs, going to the internet, reading tons of newspapers, finding out what's the latest. Every day there's something new. So we're moving into a discussion of more books this week. So I will read a whole book today after this program. But we are going to talk with one of our favorite book people, Daniel Golden, owner of Boswell Books here in Milwaukee. He comes in with all of these books. He's got bags of books he brings into the studio and they're all spread out. And he's an avid reader and knows so much about all genres, actually. He brought in nonfiction books and history books and fiction books and gives us recommendations on all of these areas, which we will put on our Facebook page. So during the course of the day, if you go to the Kathleen Dunn Show, give us just a little while, all of his recommendations will be online for you, because I know sometimes you can't write them all down. It's just too much information. Daniel, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Yeah. I need visual cues.
Is that what it is? I just love the fact that you bring all these books to us. It's just wonderful. They're spread out all over. And you said mostly it's fiction today. Are you reading more fiction than nonfiction?
No, I go back and forth. I find it does jump around a bit. I think sometimes what I find is that fiction often has a more general audience. Like I can find more people to talk to people about it. Where sometimes when I find there's certain kind of niches and nonfiction, especially things that I might be interested in, that I'll be very interested in. It'll take me 3 weeks to find somebody who's interested in talking to me about it.
So people do – I don't even know this. Do people buy mostly fiction at the store or not?
No. But I think often with nonfiction, it's easier for them to find what they want because we separate – whereas we do have some separations out of sections in the store – we've broken out things more in our mystery area. So we have a thriller case, we have a legal thriller case, we have espionage and science fiction. We've done all sorts of separations out with sci-punk and, you know, not just your straight science fiction or fantasy. But in nonfiction, it's the traditional area where we can get things down to even half a shelf, where people will find African history or cooking literature as opposed to vegetarian cooking, so they can do a lot of the work, you know, in terms of finding exactly what they want to look at and finding the new books or the old books there.
I know that you included a couple books on eating, actually, The Making of a Chef, The Making of a Restaurant, and a memoir of a woman working with her father in the restaurant business. Does this captivate you?
It is one of the nonfiction area that I do like to read and that there's a lot of interest in. It also goes in waves. And, you know, we turned around and I said, wow, we have all these food books out and all these, you know, people are talking to us about events and there's a lot of restaurant. I think people can speak very eloquently about food. The book that I was most captivated by most recently is Grant Achatz's Life on the Line, which he wrote with his business partner, Nick Kokonis. He's the chef of Alinea in Chicago. I think it's considered by many to be the best restaurant in the country.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was actually on the one of the polls. It was Gourmet's last list of restaurants. It was number one. And I think it came top 10 in the world
oh
on another
gosh.
Listing. And right in Chicago, it's considered the best by some many to be the best restaurant in Chicago ever. And he's opening a new restaurant called Next. I had this wonderful experience a couple of days ago where a customer came in and said, my son is training to work there.
Ooh.
And so we all got very, very excited. He was training at Alinea. He's doing very few events, and we were very lucky that somehow we were able to get him for next Sunday, March 13th. It's a ticketed event, so you have to contact us. It's a wonderful foodie book in that Tender at the Bone or Anthony Bourdain's book. But it's more than that because it's also about building a restaurant, but it's also a cancer story. What people most know Grant Achatz for is that he was diagnosed with tongue cancer and basically given a terrible prognosis with the in all likelihood, he would lose his sense of taste. They would actually surgically remove his tongue, which, of course, captivated many, many people. And he actually was able to – I don't want to give away the ending, but he is coming and he can taste. So he actually found a doctor who could find a different treatment for him. So it's really a cancer story too. But it's an incredibly wonderful food book. I just had another bookseller tell me it was the best book she'd read in months and months. So.
Did you ask him to bring you leftovers?
He does. He, you know, it's one of these things when you're negotiating on these events things and they didn't want any food there. No food. The focus can't be on the food. But I hope someday to have a reservation to go down. So I haven't been there.
Oh, I will go there. I'll bring some people. I know friends who are turning 60 this year. So maybe that would be a nice celebration.
My first introduction was one of my sales reps had taken his wife for her birthday. And we just spent a half an hour and he went through every dish and how he's very much into taste sensation and putting smells around it and unlocking memories. And he gets lumped in a lot with the molecular gastronomist, but he's not like that. He's different. It's much more he was trained by Thomas Keller. So there's definitely an exactness to it and an experience that you've never had before. I mean, can you imagine going into a restaurant? How many times does this happen? You say, this has never, ever happened to me. And we eat a lot of food, so.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I'm on my way. You've got another book, Memoirs of a Sunday Brunch.
Much, much closer to home. This is Julia Pandel. Worked. It is
from
a story
Pandels.
Of Pandels in, not in Whitefish Bay, but in Bayside, the one that just closed. And it is a story of working with her father. So it's really a father-daughter story. It's also behind the scenes of a restaurant, a much beloved restaurant in Milwaukee. Her brothers still own, I think, Egan's and Waters Street Deli. Is
that right?
And,
sure.
And cousins own the Whitefish Bay one. So it's been really fun to work with her. And I've really enjoyed reading the book, too.
Yeah. I've gone there for years. I used to take my parents there for brunches.
Everybody has a memory.
Yeah, there's a strong memory of it. This is something that's taking place tomorrow on the subject, teachers are good. Teachers are getting bad raps these days. Teachers are good. This will be a great lecture, a chance to make history. The founder and president of Teach for America, 20th anniversary.
It is. It's wonderful. It's Wendy Kopp, and it's free. I think I'm not sure you may have to register, so I would just kind of use your search engine skills to make sure it's at Marquette's law school at Eckstein Hall. And I am very excited about the book because that is the case, is that teachers have been getting a bad rap. And my family, there's a lot of teachers in my family. That's probably what I would have done if maybe one of the many things I would have done. You know, you all have – I didn't expect this. So
on many levels, Daniel.
So I'm just very excited about it. And, you know, I need a little inspiration. So I'm looking forward to going to that event tomorrow at Marquette.
All right. Well, there's a good line of questioning. What else has inspired you that you've read lately?
That is a good line of question. I have to say that I have been reading a lot of fiction. I've been inspired much by what a lot of other people have been reading. I would say one book that I really enjoyed that has a Wisconsin setting as well, it's a paperback original called Wing Shooters. Nina's last name is R-E-V-O-Y-R, and I usually try to find out how it's pronounced, but I didn't find out. So it's set in the 70s, and it's about a young girl who's left with her grandparents. She's half Japanese. She's definitely an outsider in this small town in Wisconsin. And even though her grandparents have no love for their son and daughter-in-law, who've basically abandoned this girl, her grandfather really grows to love her. And this is put to the test when a new couple moved to town who are African-American. So it is a story. You know, it's got a To Kill a Mockingbird element. Another story, definitely Montana 1948, which is a much beloved book by Larry Watson, who teaches at Marquette, which we still love that book. Because basically the grandfather's torn, things get worse, and it's all from this girl's viewpoint. There's nothing like a young girl's viewpoint in a book. It just, for some reason, it always makes it two notches better. We've been selling a lot. She's coming to town. She's not actually going to read at my store. She's going to go to Next Chapter on April 1st. But it's one of those events that I'm going to go to them to see. because I'm really I love the book.
So. Yeah. Inspired. Yeah, we need to come up with books that inspire us. A friend of mine is reading, I don't know how old this is, and I should read it, Driftless. Do you know Driftless? Oh, is it a great book? Oh Daniel, you loved it.
I can't. Oh, my gosh.
Daniel.
What a wonderful book.
Oh, I got to get it now. Okay.
And the coincidence is that they just had the Spring Writers Festival at UWM, the extension program, and he was one of the speakers. And boy, is he amazing. You know, he wrote and then didn't write for many, many years. He had had in a wheelchair from an accident. And he came back and wrote this book about small town Wisconsin. And it is just magical. Multiple characters, not, you know, sort of fond of rural Wisconsin, but lots of different stories that revolve around this one man. When you read the book at the end, you kind of understand that there's a wonderful structure that you didn't catch. It's got a wonderful sense of humor, and he's just an amazing guy. He's almost finished, I believe, with the next manuscript, and I was so excited to hear that. So okay. Driftless is just great, and he has an earlier book called The Rock Island Line, which is the same character, and you can go back to read the book afterwards, or you can read it before. One of the wonderful things about it, when we were talking about this in book club, is that it's a totally different experience reading the book based on whether you read Rock Island Line first or afterwards.
Okay. So I should read Rock Island Line first, do you think?
No, I think you should read Driftless. You don't need to read it. But it is an interesting – somebody – if you ever do it in a book club, somebody should read Rock Island Line first and just tell you about it.
Okay. Driftless. All right. Okay. I'm going to go get it. My friend said it was marvelous, and now I've never seen that kind of exuberance, so I'm going to get it.
It is definitely one of those books where people come in hugging the book afterwards. The book that's been like that. I have a book like that now, actually. It just came out in paperback. It's called The Invisible Bridge by Julie Oringer. Just came out in paperback. And it is – it just happened again this week. I put it in somebody's hands, and Barbara came back and said, I'm so grateful you did this. I'm so happy. I went out and bought two or three copies. Of course, I wasn't in town, so I didn't buy them from you. But whatever. I'm up for anything because I was so happy. It's Hungarian brothers during World War II, sort of building their lives, and then the war comes, and of course their hopes and dreams are dashed. But it's got an inspirational quality. The publisher certainly is chasing the market that read Cutting for Stone last year, which because it's got that epic quality. I compare it to Tolstoy to people. They laugh, but sometimes they go with it.
All right, The Invisible Bridge.
Yes.
All right, let's go to phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. The email address is talk@wpr.org. And we do want to remind you, if you go to the Kathleen Dunn Show, we'll put all of Daniel's recommendations on that on a list on the site. So go there. Boyd is our first caller from Milwaukee. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Daniel.
Hi, Boyd.
First off, great suggestions. I'll have to definitely archive this and write some of those down. What I'm currently reading was, Kathleen, you actually had this gentleman on your show a few months ago, Bloody Crimes.
Oh, sure.
And I read his previous book about John Wilkes Booth, and a great read, enjoying it very much. And I'm currently reading the first book in the trilogy that just finished, The Hunger Games. And I have to say, it's everything that people have said it is. It is really an exciting read, and I guess I had just read they're going to be making it into a film series. So it is really a lot of fun. And just finally, one book I recently finished that I actually heard about the first time when Nancy Pearl was on, and I read that was Matched. Because it also dealt with in a dystopian society and what have you. And that was a lot of fun, too. I'm just throwing that out there.
Thank you, Boyd. Thank you.
And, of course, anybody who reads Hunger Games, we always make read James Dashner's Maze Runner. It's a proven connected winner. It's a great story. Our buyer and our kids booksellers love it. And, you know, and so many people read Hunger Games that it's a nice transition. It's actually had a similar sales trajectory, but it's about a book behind. But I think there's a movie deal on that too, and a terrific. I was going to mention, if you like Eric Larson. I was thinking of The Bloody Crimes. Eric Larson has a new book coming in May called In the Garden of Beasts. And it is not quite some – you know, there isn't a serial killer the way there or the way there was. But it's actually about the American ambassador to Germany during the first year of Hitler's reign, where we didn't really know what we were doing. And it's supposedly great. So –
Good.
I had a bookseller read it. I haven't read it. Yeah.
In the Garden of Beasts. That sounds great. Boyd, thank you. More suggestions for you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, both of you.
Thanks very much for the call. Joan in Milwaukee. Hi.
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 I just wanted to go back to the cookbook part. First of all, I'd like to know the name of the restaurateur who's coming. I didn't catch the name of his book.
Oh, it's Life on the Line by Grant Achatz. It's Achatz. Of course, I pronounced it Achatz at first, but I did get corrected.
Life on the Line.
Yeah.
Okay, last week I picked up a wonderful cookbook memoir by Maya Angelou called Great Food. It's down to earth, and it gives bits and pieces of her life. And so I just wanted to recommend that with the memoir kind of cookbooks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's marvelous, too. I haven't seen the book yet.
And inspiring also. You know, so it's a crossover between the cookbook and the inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it has wonderful bits about using leftovers. And it just makes me smile. Thank you,
Joan. Thanks very much for the call.
Bye.
Here's a question, an email from Amy. What are some of your favorite short fiction authors? I'm especially interested in authors who are not particularly well known.
I actually have something. I have been a little remiss about reading short fiction. I will say that Julie Oranger wrote a wonderful short story collection that our bookseller, Jason, loved, called How to Breathe Underwater. I have two ideas for you. One is I'm always excited to know who won the story prize, which is given out to short fiction. It was just announced last week, and it went to a wonderful author named named Anthony Doerr. His new collection's called Memory Wall. I read stories out of one of his previous collections, and one of my ex-coworkers, another Dan, was a huge fan of his. One of my friends has been trying to get me to read the book for at least a year, and I finally thought it, to the point where she worked at the publisher, she had a book signed and she put my name on it so that I couldn't do anything with it. You know, I couldn't give it to a friend, even the last name, because if they just say Daniel, I'm like, I know some other Daniels, because I get a little overwhelmed by books. The other book I would like to mention is there's two really, really, really hot literary novels that we're very excited about. One is The Tiger's Wife by Taya Obret, and I'll mention that in a second. The other one is Swamplandia by Karen Russell, and we have lots of recs for both in the store. Everybody, the critics love them, but Karen Russell's novel came from a short story in a collection called St. Lucy's Home for Girls Raised by Wolves.
Oh, my.
And wonderful, huh? And this is about the story that became this novel was about a young girl, of course, you know, 2 points higher, who lives with her family in this fake Native American tourist attraction off the coast of Florida, where they wrestle this is going to be the bad one. Crocodiles or alligators, and I can't remember which.
It's all right. I think it's alligators you wrestle, isn't it? Or maybe I don't know.
Somebody in some swamp is going to be very mad at me now for not knowing this. But it's a really wonderful collection. So those are my suggestions.
Thank you, Joan, so much for – no, that was an email. Thank you, Amy, for that. Let's go to Peter in La Crosse. Hi, Peter.
Hi, and I think you can – you can wrestle either alligators or crocodiles.
Thank you.
I wouldn't suggest it. and I just want to thank you for letting me geek out with you guys about books. And there's a particular author that I wanted to mention who I was just turned on to. As of late, I've been reading what's classified as high fantasy books, some of the fantasy authors out there that are sort of agreed upon by everyone to be, you know, classic writers, you know, George R. R. Martin and Tolkien and whatnot. I've stumbled across this writer, Jack Vance, who has written a trilogy of books called Lioness, the Lioness Trilogy, which has just been made into a compendium. And been released now, so it was out of print for a while. He is sort of heralded amongst contemporary writers as the greatest fantasy writer that a lot of people don't know about. And his writing is absolutely intoxicating. It is the most immersive writing, and the worlds that he creates are just absolutely amazing and beautiful.
Familiar with it, Danny?
Yes, I'm not you said, oh, I read all sorts of things. I'm not so good with fantasy and science fiction. But fortunately, I work with a lot of people who are, and I have a bookseller who does like Jack Vance a lot, too. Of course, we can't – when it comes to fantasy, we can't think of anything else but Patrick Rothfuss, the Wisconsin –
Oh, who's awesome.
Yeah, and the – I mean, we just – as did so many bookstores, we were just – the demand for the follow-up to The Name of the Wind, which came out last week, Wise Man's
Fear. Better
believe it. It was just amazing, and
when is that coming out?
It came out last week. You have to go get it.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking books this hour on the Ideas Network. Daniel Golden is the owner of Boswell Books, which is located on the east side of Milwaukee, and he's our guest in studio, along with many, many books that he has brought in. We should mention a couple of events that are coming up, and they sound really interesting. Seeing You Home, the author of that, will be at El Verno. Do you have-
Yes, and I'm actually doing the, I'm kind of excited about the event, and I'm actually – and I believe in the greater good of books, so I'm actually not the official bookseller for it. Our friends at Next Chapter are. It's Jodi Picou. She always writes an interesting book. She's a wonderful – speaker, and this comes with a concert because the new book is about a woman in whose marriage breaks up, and she finds herself on the other side of a divide from her ex-husband. It brings in – it always has a lot of issues. It brings in gay marriage. It brings in using cells for reproduction. Because she's a songwriter, her friend wrote songs. They collaborated together, so there's sort of a concert too. So that's on the Alverno website, which is pretty easy to find. But that's on Wednesday, very soon. I think it's Wednesday the 9th at 7 at Alverno.
Yeah,
so
is-
they are not sold out. I checked. So you can walk up and buy tickets too.
And Geraldine Brooks, pretty famous.
Oh, I am
writer.
So excited about this. One of my jobs is in one of the 77 jobs I have is booking the events, and you know, there's some where you go, okay, let's see. We have lots of interesting niche things, lots of people with ties to Wisconsin. I do self-published books. I do everything. And I don't do every single event that comes to us, but we do all kinds of events, I should say. But then every so often you get a little email that says, would you like Geraldine Brooks? And I sort of fell off the chair, and I was half tilted anyway. And it's for the new book, which is called Caleb's Crossing, that we're very excited about. You know, she always kind of focuses on a niche, like a footnote in history, or often. And the new book is about the Native Americans of Martha's Vineyard. It's told by a young girl, and just to keep the theme going, who befriends a man. She's her father is a minister. He is the son of a chieftain. There is a culture clash. It takes place very early on, but it's based on the true story of the first Native American to go to Harvard.
Oh,
so,
my.
I know. And she's one of the nicest authors in the universe. She, you know, there's people who are fortunate. They don't tour the ones who aren't nice generally, but they don't give them to me because they know I might be cranky. But But she is actually – she's a show. And so it's May 12th. It's a small ticket. We're going to do taking a chapter from another friend's playbook. We're going to have a small fee, but we're going to have food from Beans and Barley. Refreshments.
Nice.
So
very nice.
My favorite place to get catered foods. So.
Very nice. Okay.
May 12th.
May 12th. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And you have a website people can go to for all of this,
too? Yeah, bustlebooks.com.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Let's go next to Tim from Fort Collins, Colorado. How did you find us, Tim?
Off the internet.
Great. Woo-hoo. All right.
Trying to find some radio stations that were worth listening to, and I found Wisconsin Public Radio, and now I understand with all the Wisconsin people out here rave about all the time.
Oh, great. Good, Tim. Mm-hmm.
They're big fans.
Great.
Of people that have transferred out here. Anyway, I was calling about two things. One was, I'm sure you're tired of talking about this book, but I just last night got done reading Unbroken. And I also read Matterhorn this year. And Unbroken, I was just taken with it. It's a nonfiction book, and I was just taken with what a story it was. And then I've also read about the backstory of the author and the guy that the book is about, et cetera, et cetera. You want to talk about that at all? Have you read about the backstory?
Tell me about it.
It's about Louis Zamperini, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. He was this Olympic runner, and then he goes into the World War II, and it's his World War II story.
Oh, yes.
The lady that wrote the book is the lady that also wrote the book Seabiscuit.
Oh,
and
yes.
She's pretty darn sick, and it takes her, 10, 15 years to write a book, and it's just stunning what this man went through of brutality in World War II. It's just unbelievable.
It's been a bestseller for a while, hasn't it? That's why it's clicking with me. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
Huh. Have you read it? I'd like to read it. It sounds great.
Our buyer read it and really loved it. I think either Sharon or Carl did too. And of course, many, once the book's out for a while, you get wonderful feedback. And what was really cool about the book was Seabiscuit is seemingly a very different book, but she really, she's able to really capture the underdog and the survivor. And so that was fun. And the other thing that was really great about the book for me is that there's always a book at Christmas that sort of captures that adventure market, and it's very rarely written by a woman. And so that was neat. I don't have a book to replace it. We're still selling it really well because, usually seasonally you'll come up with another book that fits that niche of the person who comes in, but I think we'll be selling this for a while.
Hmm. Oh, that sounds great.
I have a question about that also, or a comment. Have either of you heard the backstory? She's really sick, and when you made that comment about the survival mode, that sounds exactly what her mentality would have to be to do this.
Sure.
Is she's a survivor.
Yeah, I think that's not unusual for people, even when they're writing nonfiction stories. A lot of people are attracted to stories that really help them in some way, not necessarily explicitly, tell their own story.
Chronic fatigue syndrome is what she has, right?
Yeah, and she's been sick for a very long
time. Laura Hillebrand, Hillebrand. Thanks, Chrissy.
And it just made me, realize that what if I was a leader, how hard I would have to think before I ever sent anybody into any war. I have a question for Danielle or you or any of your listeners also. I have a couple authors I really enjoyed, but and they're kind of tough authors, I guess. They are Chris Offit and the guy that wrote The Winner's Bone and Tomato Red.
Daniel Woodrell.
I really enjoy those. Are there other authors that you
suggest? Goodness, I've got a pile of them. we're practically our specialty, those difficult authors. I would say
do you want to think about it?
Yeah, I think
All
I
right.
need to.
Right, that's fine. Tim, he's going to think about it and let you know by the end of the show, okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you, Tim.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much for the call. All right. We got tons of emails, actually. Aaron in Green Bay, I'm curious, what is your opinion, Daniel, on the newfound fascination with the subject of zombies, such as Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, or next on my to-read list, Zombie Ohio.
Mm-hmm. It is a running joke in the store that I'm going to create a zombie study section. And I actually – it's only a half joke because I really am planning to do it. But I just have to come up with the energy and decide that it's worth it because they are – they're scattered a little in our pop culture section. That we actually decided to put the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies with our Jane Austen books. But it is interesting how these things do go in waves. And I don't have any – it doesn't seem to be going away. Max Brooks I saw, who was one of the early – that's Mel's son.
Oh.
He wrote the Zombie Survival Guide, and he's written a novel. And that book's on the bestseller list again. There is really nothing. And Waking Dead – those graphic novels that are the inspiration for the cable television show, Waking Dead, those are selling very well. And there are so many books. There's teen zombie books. It's everywhere. Probably there's a zombie cookbook. I haven't seen a zombie gardening guide, but maybe it's not really gardening season yet.
Walking Dead.
We had a zombie love song book for Valentine's Day.
Oh, my gosh.
Day. So I sing them to people sometimes. So.
Lynn is next in Eau Claire. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Good morning. If there were a zombie cookbook, I would have had it. It wrenched my soul, but I had more cookbooks than most bookstores. And I'm dispersing them among the people I love.
Oh, nice.
But, a couple of my, we've spoken, Kathleen, about Malachi McCourt. He's
sure.
Frank's brother, mm-hmm. and fantastic. There's nothing left for the rest of us to suck from the Blarney Stone. cookbooks, I just picked up the Blue Chair Jam cookbook. The photos. I mean, if you can't read, pick it up just for the photos. They're breathtakingly inspirational. I'll read anything. I'll read a toothpaste tube. in my lap right now, The Alchemaster's Apprentice by Walter Moores, and then Jasper Ford. I would sit at the bookstore for 6 months waiting for the next Jasper Ford
he
novel.
Is
he's so out there, and it's just I would love to be Thursday next.
He is touring around too, so you know every so often we'll get a really hot author and somebody will fly in from Minneapolis or St. Louis or someplace like Michigan, and I will tell you that Jasper Ford is – we didn't get him this time, but we made a great pitch for him. He's touring somewhere. He's not in Milwaukee, but I know, for example, he's going to Left Bank Books in St. Louis, and you should go on the site and go meet him. He's fun. It's a good event. It's a really good event.
Sorry.
So. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
And I think, you know, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Is it next Thursday? It's next Thursday, isn't it? The 17th. I don't. Have we heard from Frank Delaney? We have not heard from Frank. Mm. Frank is, a novelist, and he's written the whole history of Ireland. He's just such a delightful guest. He was with us last St. Patrick's Day. I hope he will be with us this St. Patrick's Day.
He has a new book, so it's
He does have
possible.
A new book, yeah. Doesn't he? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was trying to remember the title.
I can't. Chris, you'll find out for us. We have it on the desk, but I haven't read that yet either.
If you like Irish books, we have a Carl reads pretty much anything that comes out. Joseph O'Connor's Ghostlight, and he's really wonderful, super charming guy.
I have not read him.
And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book. And also there's a new Edna O'Brien book. Saints and Sinners. That's coming in May. It's not quite out yet. But she's also terrific William Trevor quality writing, you know, just the tops of Irish writing.
So. Okay, great.
Sorry.
Wonderful. Seamus Heaney. I always read him. I love Seamus Heaney. I love him. The Matchmaker of Ken Mayer is the name of Frank's book. Okay. And we'll let you know if we get Frank. We just haven't heard from him yet. Another email that's come in from Judith. I recently read My Name is Memory by Anne Brasheras, B-E-R-A-S-H-A-R-E-S. She is the author of The Sister of the Traveling Pants. Memory is the first of a trilogy about a man who remembers all of his lives as he reincarnates and keeps trying to meet up with his love. Oh. I like that, Daniel. You like? I like that idea. Anything to say about
I
that?
Like, do
you
know? No, I don't. I mean, of course, I know Amber Shears.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about the book. I do love interesting. I love when an author comes up with a plot device that, you know, you go, wow, that's mm-hmm. really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. Scott in La Crosse. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Hi, Kathleen. Scott.
First of all, allow me to shout out to our pal in Fort Collins. That's where I began my long and checkered college career.
Oh, really?
Great little town, yeah.
Huh.
So good for him for listening to the best public radio in the country.
Oh, Scott.
And by the way, I did forget to get my PhD in zoology, but I remembered at one point hearing that in North America, we only have alligators. We don't have crocodiles.
Ah, thank you.
So that settles that.
Little
you
did we know.
You got that grain of salt handy there, do you? But you probably thought I was going to talk about a book, and actually I am, which is Last Call, subtitled The Rise and Fall of Prohibition by Daniel O'Krent. Fascinating stuff.
Mm.
And what it is, it talks about I'm only a part way into it, but already he's talking about all the not just the unintentional consequences, but all, for example, there were only, by the time Prohibition came along, two amendments to the U.S. Constitution that impacted what people could do rather than what the government or the state could do. One was, and both of them were designed so that it would stop you from owning things. And the first was slaves, and the second is booze. And he says that what's so amazing about this development is the United States was one hard-drinking country throughout its history. From even the Puritans came over with wine and beer in those ships. And he said one person from overseas touring the country wrote back and said, this is an amazing country. They drink from the break of dawn till the break of dawn. And to go from that kind of volume of alcohol consumption to nothing, and how we got there, and, of course, then what happened afterwards and its impacts on, really a good book.
Oh, Scott, and really a good description of a really good book, I might add.
Thank you.
Very
right.
Nice. What?
I think there was just I'm trying to, you know, I would say that there's – we sold that book very well, and I talked to a lot of customers who really enjoyed it as well. We're always looking at who's winning prizes, and there was so much good history out last fall. We were sort of overwhelmed. I guess there was just – the American History Book Prize was just announced, and it went to Ron Chernow's Washington.
Washington, a great book. It's a great – I have read that. It's wonderful. Well, thank you, Scott.
Hey, thank you again so much.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Yeah. I also like Walter Mondale's book, but he was a guest and he was just so smart and charming. The Good Fight of Life in Liberal Politics. I liked that book as well. We got to pause and then we'll return. Daniel Golden is our guest. He's the owner of Boswell Books based here in Milwaukee. And we're talking books this hour of the program. We have a couple lines open if you've been trying to get through. Here's the number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Book suggestions have been flying right and left. We don't have all of them down, but Daniel has a list of recommendations, which you can get at our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and you can also go to his page as well to get book recommendations, which is boswellbooks.com. I got it. Okay. More phone calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And while we were pausing for a moment, for some reason, Daniel brought up The Warmth of Other Suns, one of my favorite books. It was my favorite book last year. It was wonderful. You like that book, too. You thought Scott would like that.
Yeah, for the O'Krent. Yeah.
Okay. Frank in Madison. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm quite fine.
Good.
This is a superb guest and a superb topic, especially given the previous morning programs. I've been rereading something, and unfortunately it's from the 90s, so it would be in the used book section. But it's a brilliant piece of scholarship and so utterly readable. That I have to recommend it to a bookstore and to readers, and that is The Marriage of Cadmus and Harmony by Robert Colasso. And it's the account of the end of the gods coming to man. They stop interfering with us. And, of course, the terminal event ended with this riot at the wedding ceremony. And we've been left to ourselves and to do a better job. So I recommend Marriage of Cadmus and Harmony. And have a good day.
Thank you, Frank. You as well. You're familiar with it.
Oh, not only am I familiar with it, you know, for many years, I was the buyer for Schwartz. And I had this wonderful sales rep who would come in and sell books, and he could not focus on the books he was supposed to sell. He'd get very obsessed about these very tiny printings, and we would spend he'd give me a half an hour talking about it to try to convince me to bring in a face-out quantity, and one of them was that book. And I rest in peace. He was just a terrific guy.
Aww.
And but it was just sometimes you get in the middle and it's like, okay. So I know a lot about that book. Many years later. And it was wonderful. So.
You got a lot of stories. Justin in La Crosse, having recently had two children, one 2.5, the other 9 months, we've been reading a lot of children's books. I was wondering if Daniel could comment on the rash of children's authors who feel the need to make their books rhyme, often very poorly. It seems like more a nuisance than anything else. Why do they feel the need to rhyme their words?
I didn't really think of that. I do notice there's also a lot of alliteration if you want to get really down and dirty with it. And I have no idea. I mean, one of the things is that I have children's books that I really love. I also rely on lots of outside sources because I don't have kids. When I wind up liking a book, Amy, who buys our kids' books and has a couple of kids and also works very closely with lots of different parents and kids who come in, she'll say, no, that's not, this is why this is a good book. This is why this isn't a good book. So I'm not the best person to comment on it. But of course, you could always cross out the rhyming words and put in a synonym and that didn't rhyme if it really bothered you.
But I always thought when Mom said in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, that if I could remember those kinds of things, but I grew up in the time when you had to remember dates. I'll never forget that date because it rhymed.
However, if you watched Lost in Space when you were young, Dr. Smith insisted that in 1493, Columbus sailed the deep blue sea.
Oh, you messed it up for me, Daniel. Oh, my. Thanks, Frank, for the call. Let's go next to Greg in Racine. Hi, Greg.
Hi there.
Hi.
Among the most memorable books I've read in the last year is a collection of essays edited by Sean Manning. And most of what Sean has edited have been collections of essays about sports topics of one kind or another, like 25 sports writers select their favorite baseball player and explain why. But this latest book is called Bound to Last, and in it he has, and I forget if it's 25 writers, it's about that, maybe more, wonderful writers in all kinds of different genres, and each is asked to identify and talk about their most cherished book. And it's not even so much like their favorite book, but the actual physical book which means the most to them. Because maybe it's something that was given to them by a loved one, or they remember where they bought it, or they took it with them on a memorable trip, or whatever. So it's a real book about physical books, not so much, although it's part of the content of the books, but it's a book, as he puts it, a physical artifact and something on the shelf. And maybe one way to think about it is if your house was burning down, what is the book you would grab off the shelf? And in terms of content, of course, there's all kinds of ways to replace the content if a book is lost. But that physical object on the shelf that means the most to you. I thought it was a wonderful idea, and it's wonderfully executed. Again, the book is called Bound to Last. It was just published last year.
And it sounds like a great talk show, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks very much. I like that idea.
Oh, he makes me cry.
Oh, does he? You're thinking
well,
of the books.
Just, it's just, yes, yes. I mean, obviously, that's the discussion. And we, you know, the world changes fast and everything. And but there is this thing about the physical book that does, I think, connect memories in an additional way. I still have, you know, I still have a few very old books on my shelf, and I know exactly how I acquired them, who gave them to me, what was. I have one, the Dover used to do these, or still does these fairy tale books, and I have a copy of the Brown Fairy book that my mom and I went to Manhattan and went to the Doubleday on 53rd Street, and I just, and it's like, it's like it's happened yesterday. And I, every time I see the book, I have the memory.
So, yeah, that's wonderful. We need a pause to take that in, right? That's nice. Thanks, Greg, for the call. Let's go to Lynn in Lake Forest, Illinois. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathleen. That just reminded me, that last call, of a couple of old books that I have that a neighbor of my parents gave me when her daughter had was through with them, and they were a couple of the 1920s-type editions of Louisa May Alcott, and also a an author, Jean Stratton Porter, Girl of the Limberlost. And, you know, they're just sort of treasures on the shelf. Anyway, I'm calling because I really want to thank Public Radio for some of the best reading we've had. And the one that I have right now, it just started, but it's called The View from Lazy Point by Carl Safrina. And it was on he was interviewed on Larry Miller's show recently. And the author of another one that I guessed that Larry had, Karen Chanor, S-H-A-N-O-R, called Bats Sing, Mice Giggle. And both of those are nonfiction, you know, and they're just, well, and we think wonderful books. But anyway, beautifully written, this the one that I'm currently reading, The View from Lazy Point. Also, one that I heard they're interviewed on Chicago Public Radio, The Seasons on Henry's Farm. And it's by a woman named Tara, T-E-R-R-A, Brockman, B-R-O-C-K-M-A-N. And it's about her life on her brother's organic farm in central Illinois. Beautifully written again, and I've never had such an appreciation of what goes into farming, specifically organic farming in their case. It really gave me an idea of how much time, work, effort goes into that life.
Thank you for those suggestions. Do you want to comment, Daniel?
I was trying. Yes, there's definitely been a growth. I can see where the author's going, and they're wonderful books. I was trying to think of something that I could recommend. I am excited about, we have Lee Sandlin coming. It's sort of tangential. He has a book called Wicked River about the Mississippi from before when it was still wild, and he's got some Wisconsin ties. Mm. So we tracked him down on a trip through. He's coming on April 16th.
Okay. Email from Tom in McGuanago. I need an author suggestion. I'm a big fan of Michael Crichton, who, of course, passed away in 2008. Love his style of science fiction.
Oh, maybe James Rollins, I guess. Or
James Rollins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe he's a little more, but something, you know, Crichton has, there've definitely been people who've tried to imitate him because he had that sort of science, you know, played heavily on the science angle. And, you know, I always have names. That's the first name that comes to mind. I do have to try to keep in my head, okay, you like this, you like this.
Right,
you like this,
right.
You like this.
Right.
I'm better in the store because I bring them. We actually, one of the things we did to try to make it a little easier for me is we used to mix in our thrillers in somewhere in fiction, somewhere in mystery. And we moved those out as I was talking with mystery because it does – make it easier to kind of find similar authors. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would suggest.
Yeah. Thanks very much for your email and for your call. And let's go next to Patty. We're running short on time, everybody. Patty in Eau Claire. Hi, Patty.
Yes, yes. I have another. I'm searching for an author to replace Tom Robbins. I really like quirky writers like him and John Irving. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, goodness. I'm going to put this on my blog because I'm like, these are good. These are wonderful questions. And actually, I do often, you know, maybe T.C. Boyle, you know, who just was in town for his new book. He's definitely got a quirkiness about him. You know, Sherman Alexie might be a good match for you. And some, you know, there's some – because I read these kind of books. And, you know, so I've got probably two or three in my head. They're in a file drawer. I'm just missing the key.
Thanks very much for your call. We're out of time. Book suggestions will be on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Also, Boswell Books, B-O-S-W-E-L-L, books.com. You may want to go there just to – find out what's going on, who's coming to town, and read Daniel's blog. And we have a list of books on our Facebook page. And, well, that's it. Oh, we have Joyce Carol Oates is joining us on Thursday for her new book. So,
wonderful.
Loss of her husband. So that will be good. She's an interesting woman and a great writer. Daniel, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. It's much. Always a great pleasure. You make me so enthusiastic about everything. It's great. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour. Thanks to Chrissy Peace for on-air production.